live here.
We live here.
We live here.
We live here.
A project exploring
race,
class,
power,
poverty,
systems, and the people they touch.
I'm Camille Stanley.
And I'm Tim Lloyd. And from St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
On the show, the head-scratching behemoth that is Missouri's school funding system.
AKA the Foundation Formula. That's the name of that system.
Yep, we're all about the money on this episode, with a lesson on what makes the Foundation Formula tick.
And there is a whole lot to go over here.
So, let's get to class.
Don't you love it running against the school?
That would be Tiffany Anderson, superintendent of the Jennings School District. She let Tim hang out with her one morning as students made their way to class.
He got a microphone.
He does have a microphone. That's why I said
you want to say hi?
Hi!
What's your favorite thing about school?
Me?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to the microphone.
Reading?
Reading's your favorite thing? You got favorite books?
Yes.
All right, we gotta get going. Have a good day, Dad.
Some quick facts about Jennings. It has about 2,500 students, and almost all of them are black and qualify for free and reduced lunch, a common measure of poverty.
It's part of a jigsaw puzzle of more than 20 school districts in St. Louis County. Jennings is located in North St. Louis County and sits between the state's two unaccredited districts, Normandy and Riverview Gardens. Academics are on an upswing in Jennings. It's scored in the fully accredited range on its last report card from the state.
But if things are going good in the classroom, why is the superintendent doing crosswalk duty?
And from a budgetary perspective, you know, most of the members of my staff, including myself, we have maybe 10 different roles that we juggle. Crossing guard happens to be one of the ones that I have. It helps us get started, but it also is a way to really maximize that budget. Things like crossing guard, curriculum, public relations, those are things that fall in my office. We really don't have the kind of funds, or we choose not to direct funds to hire people for those other things, so we can divert dollars in the classroom. Excuse me for just a minute.
Okay, so we should get out of the way so Dr. Anderson can get back to making sure students get to school safely.
Yeah, but I still want to know, how does a district like Jennings get so strapped for cash? Mm-hmm.
The answer in part is the Foundation Formula.
Ah, yes. St. Louis Public Radio's Dale Singer, who's helping us out with the show today. Hey, Dale.
Hi there.
All right, Dale, you've been covering education in Missouri, can I say, just for a while now?
Oh, longer than I care to remember.
All right. Give us an overview of the Foundation Formula.
Well, you know, I'm a guy who does his homework, so I wrote all this out in advance.
Okay.
Here goes. In an ideal world, the formula would be simple. State education officials could figure out how much each district needs to achieve its goal. Then they would determine how much money each district could contribute to that effort on its own. The difference between need and resources would be made up by state aid. But in Missouri schools, as in other areas of state services, the world is far from ideal. The problem has two main parts. Not enough money is available for education, and what money the state has to distribute is not apportioned fairly.
And when did you write that? Just right before the show or something?
Actually, I wrote those words back in 1993 when I was on the editorial page of the Post-Dispatch.
Wait, what?
Yeah, 1993?
Yeah, maybe we should temporarily change the name of the show from We Live Here to We've Been Here.
All right, but enough joking around here. Let's just go ahead and start, what do you say, just by taking apart the formula as it stands right now.
All right, let's do it.
Well, Dale, what do you say we go back to 1993 when you wrote that editorial about the new Foundation Formula? What was it about? How did it even come about?
As usual, it was because there was a lawsuit.
Of course.
Use the courts when you can.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of Missouri school districts, some in rural areas, some in urban areas. They were all poor. They did figure they weren't getting enough money for education. So they filed suit saying the formula wasn't fair. And Judge Byron Kinder in Jefferson City, he agreed. I remember going to talk to him in his chambers after the ruling came out. He wrote a phrase that has been quoted time and time again about how Missouri schools range from the golden to the god-awful because of the discrepancy in the way schools were funded.
All right, so what happens then?
The ruling came out early in the year, and by the time the legislative session was over in the spring, Governor Mel Carnahan had pushed through the Outstanding Schools Act, which raised $360 million a year more for schools.
Wait. Yeah.
$360 million?
Sure.
Every year?
That's right.
And how are they going to pay for that? Or how were they going to pay for it, I should say?
increased taxes on corporations, increased taxes on rich Missourians, and of course the ever-popular budget cuts, because you never really know how much money is going to be raised with taxes. The other thing the Outstanding Schools Act did in 93 was usher in a bunch of school accountability measures that districts are still working with now, the ever-popular Missouri School Improvement Plan.
Yeah, the standardized tests.
Oh, yes.
All right, so the logical question, I mean, like, what did this mean for school districts that didn't have a lot of money to begin with? I mean, what were they able to buy with this extra money?
You know who can tell you that is Ron Langford. Right now, he's Deputy Commissioner for Finance at the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. But back then, he was superintendent of the rural Webb City schools in outstate Missouri.
The resources we had in southwest Missouri were very, very limited in our school district. We were in the lowest 25% wealth-wise. In 1993, when the equity formula came along, that really gave lots of school districts, such as ours, a big shot in the arm. And we're talking about being able to reduce class sizes. We're talking about being able to provide art, music, and PE at all grade levels. Incrementally over time, our district emerged into a very highly regarded school district in southwest Missouri. And in fact, when I left there, our high school was ranked, I believe, number 12 of the over 500 high schools in the state of Missouri.
All right, so things are going pretty well in Webb City with all this extra money. Academics are improving. But then in 2005, something happened, right? They got rid of the formula.
Yeah, they realized that even though things were going well, that they weren't going to be able to give enough, to have enough money to give districts enough so that every student was treated equally. So instead of equity, they concentrated more on adequacy. They just wanted to make sure that all districts had enough money per student so that they could get a good education.
And so one part of it, though, too, and like Camille and I were surprised, I think most people, by this idea that they can continue to increase education funding in the state of Missouri by $360 million year after year after year. And basically, lawmakers had the same reaction, right?
Right. Charlie Shields was the president pro tem of the Senate. He's actually now the president of the state school board, so he's seen this whole thing from both directions. He helped push through the new formula because he realized the old one just wasn't going to work. There wasn't enough money there.
There was no way that you would ever come up with enough money to fund that formula, and you could never catch up with yourself on it.
So we've got this new plan from Shields, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's about time for another lawsuit. Right.
Funny you should say that. Actually, there was another lawsuit. Shields is a very astute politician. He even says that whenever you do something like this, there are winners and there are losers, and the losers are going to go to court. And they did. But this time, they were losers not only with the formula, they were losers in court. And the Missouri Supreme Court said, no, this formula is just fine.
Yeah, but then something happened that like came out of nowhere and blindsided everybody.
Guess what?
The market fell as if down a well. Over 700 points.
Apple shares are just getting hammered this morning.
We're down by between 3% and 4.5% generally across these markets. Let's talk about
what happened in 2008, 2009 was we saw state revenues start to decline, and then face a number of years after that where we had declining revenues, and finally we're at the point where you're almost catching up with where the state was in 2008.
So even if we get back to that level, aren't we still really short?
Oh, yeah, about $450 million short. That's how much it would take to fully fund this adequacy formula. So at this point, the adequacy formula is far from adequate.
So we have the backstory, but how does the formula actually work?
Well, Ron Langford, when Dale and I talked to him, told us he gives presentations on this all the time.
I actually was in a deposition one time and did about a 5-minute one.
Okay, let's see if we can beat that record. The formula is made up of four big variables, and really it is a formula, like a math formula.
Yeah, it multiplies three of those variables together, then subtracts the fourth variable. So to explain what all these variables are, what do you say we just go ahead and divide them up? So Dale, you want to explain what the first variable is?
Sure, but remember, this is all about paying districts for how many students come to class every day. So variable one is called the weighted average daily attendance. Here's how Ron explains it.
The weighted average daily attendance is the actual average daily attendance in all the school districts across the state. And then those are altered or they are adjusted based upon weightings. And so there are three things that were determined that might cost you more to educate a child: if socioeconomics, limited speaking English and students with disabilities.
If the formula takes into account socioeconomic conditions, let's look at how that works. It looks at how many students in top schools in the state are receiving free or reduced price lunch.
And let's say it was 40%. Then if I'm a school district that has 65%, I get some additional weighting for that 25% above that 40%.
Translation. Districts with lots of kids receiving free or reduced price lunch get a little extra credit in their attendance numbers. The rule also applies to students who don't speak English as their primary language and those with disabilities.
All right, my turn. So this gets us to variable two, something called the state adequacy target.
Let's go out and look at the school districts that are meeting the targets of the state of Missouri. Let's look at what they are spending, and then we will operate from the assumption that the amount that they are spending through after you go through this calculation should be sufficient for any school in the state of Missouri to meet the educational needs of the students it serves.
To get this variable, the formula looks at how much schools at the top of the chart spend on average per pupil. The current adequacy target should be $6,716 per pupil, which only includes money from state and local taxes, not any federal funds. But like we told you before, the state is roughly $450 million short of fully funding the formula in the first place. So that means the adequacy target was reduced. Right now, it's a little bit more than $6,100 per student.
Okay, so it's my turn now, and I want to get back to the calculation. The formula takes a look at that attendance data that Dale told you about. Then it multiplies it by the adequacy target that Camille just talked about. And then it multiplies it by something called the dollar value modifier, which you can think of as basically a cost of living index.
The assumption was it does cost more to do business in some school districts.
In St. Louis County, districts can get an extra 9% in funding per pupil. Idea being that you have to pay teachers more in an urban area, and just generally stuff costs more in cities. By comparison, about 80 miles west of St. Louis County in rural Marys County, schools don't get that little bonus. Now, we've been doing multiplication up to this point, but the last part is subtraction. The formula does look at what districts could raise locally, mostly from property taxes. And if that district is raising a lot of money on its own, then it gets less from the state. And there you have it. The state has figured out how much each district should get per student.
So we know what the formula looks like in theory, but what about real life?
To answer that question, we spent a little time with two local superintendents.
Let's start in Jennings. Tim, you spent a day with Superintendent Tiffany Anderson.
Yeah, I did. And just to give you a little context on the district, again, its student body is almost entirely African-American, and 100% of students qualify for free or reduced price lunch, a common measure of poverty. Also, academics are really on the uptick there. The district scored in the fully accredited range on its most recent report card from the state. So Dr. Anderson has just finished up her crosswalk duty for the day, and like we told you at the very beginning of the show, she does this to save money.
There's stress and pressure in any job in which you're trying to serve an underserved community. I mean, that's, it's an ongoing piece. How do you best serve a community that has few resources? We are always looking for grant dollars, and it's not just grant dollars, but grant dollars that don't have matching requirements, because we really often can't do the matching requirements. We look for grant dollars for programs and activities we can sustain, because if you can't sustain it and you get the grant, when the grant's over, the program ends, and that's not good either.
So every day after crosswalk duty, Dr. Anderson starts making the rounds, checking in with teachers and staff. Before I got there, she told me to wear comfortable shoes, and for good reason. The petite woman is in almost constant motion, hustling upstairs, power walking down halls, and of course, checking out what's happening in classrooms.
Good morning, Dr. Anderson.
What are we working on today? Can someone share who has their hand up what we're working on today? Ms. Stone, can you call on someone?
Teachers, every principal has to meet with me every month, and they have to justify how they spent every dollar. So we print off everything that they bought for the month, and then they have to literally justify what they bought and how they spent.
Every dollar counts in a district like Jennings that's surrounded by concentrated poverty, and that has Dr. Anderson constantly brainstorming ways to make life just a little easier for parents and students. For example, she was able to get some donated washers and dryers. Parents can do their laundry in exchange for spending an hour in a classroom with one of their children. And she's pretty darn media savvy too, because on her list of duties is doing PR for the district.
We do hope that as people hear our story, that they are excited to, you know, to invest.
That word, investors, comes up a lot. The district has secured support from about 20 outside agencies, like the Regional Business Council, the Urban League, and the Girl Scouts of Eastern Missouri. And last year, the district started a foundation to keep attracting investments. On top of that, roughly 1 in 5 district employees, including Dr. Anderson, makes a contribution to Jennings out of their paychecks. But she says most of that outside money goes to meeting the basic needs of students and families.
My greatest wish would be that investors would invest in giving us funds for technology, because that is an expense that's ongoing. Technology is outdated every few years.
And she needs to raise that money elsewhere or continue to find ways to cut costs, because the foundation formula doesn't consider things like classroom technology and what it costs to adequately educate a student in Missouri. We stop for a moment and get ready to walk into one more classroom.
It's our College Prep Academy. These students, they work approximately 2 grade levels above. They go to school Monday through Saturday. They stay in school 8.5 hours.
How many kids do you have in this program?
It starts at elementary, and then we have approximately 300 kids. What we've said is, if you would like for your child to go to school Monday through Saturday, be in school an extra hour, and learn approximately 2 grade levels above, we don't have, the state doesn't fund gifted, but we will provide an opportunity for our outliers. Students who are either willing to work hard, and for students who are considered gifted if they were in a traditional environment. So these are those students that signed up for that.
All the students sit up just a little straighter when Dr. Anderson walks into the room.
Can someone tell me what you're working on in math? Yes, sir. First and last name.
Hi, my name is Kaylin Edwards, and we are working on math. We're working on, the problem is asking what days, how many days in 87 days does this worker have? So he used 45 days to paint this bridge. He has 42 days left. So we're trying to figure out one worker, how many workers he needs to finish this bridge. They have finished 1/3 of this bridge.
And what grade are you in?
6.
This is another gap in the foundation formula. The state doesn't give money to schools for gifted classes like this one. Not only that, the state doesn't give districts money for kids who go to school on Saturday. But Dr. Anderson says crunching the numbers to find money for advanced classes is critical in districts like Jennings.
Every teacher teaches 1 grade level above, without fail. And because if you leave Jennings today and you have this transiency with high poverty families and they leave, I want to make sure that you're going to be on grade level if you get a bad teacher next year. If you go to a district that is high poverty, that doesn't have the same resources that we are providing. If you are with us throughout the course of time, I have found that there has to be this resiliency that you build in kids that are high poverty. Part of it is a social justice piece. I mean, just literally based on you being an African American male and you walk into a place for a job or apply for a college, I believe that you have to have the skill set that is at and or above those that you will be competing with.
And speaking of competition, no look at school funding would be complete without making a stop in a district like Clayton. It's just a 20-minute drive from Jennings. There's a lot of valuable property in the district. It has a well-established foundation. It also has almost exactly the same number of students as Jennings. But only 15% qualify for free or reduced-priced lunch, 64% of students are white, and 17% are African American. Clayton gets hardly any money from the state, because according to the formula, it doesn't need it. But Superintendent Sharman Wilkinson says she doesn't like to look at comparisons between districts in purely financial terms.
There's so many ways avenues that we have to benefit our students. And so I think a strict focus on the haves and have-nots causes us to think differently about, rather than thinking broadly about, what do we have, and then how can we bring a community in and develop a community focus around our students.
You know, Dr. Wilkinson says Clayton is helping out poor districts, not by providing dollars, but by teaming up for things like teacher training.
Because in the end, you know, it's every student in this county, my responsibility directly for this district, but every student in this county and St. Louis Public Schools, that's going to make the difference for this region as they leave whatever high school they are and move on to whatever they next do. And so don't we all want to say that, you know, when a child leaves us, that we want them to feel that they have that personal sense of efficacy to do and be whatever they want to do and be, and if we can all figure out how to make that happen for each student, then it will happen. So isn't that what we all want? The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me more. That's what I want. 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 Yeah. That's what I want. Okay, so to recap. We told you about the formula and how it works in districts like Jennings and how it works in districts like Clayton. But there's another factor the foundation formula can't account for, the sheer number of individual school districts in Missouri. Just ask State Board of Education member Mike Jones.
Moses didn't come down from the Mount Sinai with 520 school districts for Missouri, okay? We had that because somebody decided somewhere back in time that every county ought to have a school district, right. Okay? And that probably made sense when you did it because it was that diverse and rural a place, and you couldn't have run it all from Jefferson City anyway.
In fairness, consolidation has happened over time. There were more than 8,600 school districts in the state back in 1940.
And Jones says before you start beating up on the current formula's inability to level the playing field among all those hundreds and hundreds of districts, there are a few things to remember. The first of which is...
The real challenge is you don't know if it works or not because it's never been fully funded.
And he says it's not like giving districts more and more money will automatically improve academics.
I'm not sure, though, that the way we actually currently spend the money, even if we had all of it, is the right way to spend it.
Jones says you also have to keep in mind stuff that happens outside of the classroom.
If I am a child of a upper middle class professional family and I have some challenges in school, my parents can go to Sylvan or some other private resource. They can give me that additional help. I come back to school, I do better, and voila, the school district gets the credit.
So let's get back to this idea that there's no way the foundation formula can possibly level the playing field between all these different school districts in Missouri.
Well, that problem is definitely not new, and neither are ideas to solve it. Remember Ron Langford?
Mm-hmm. He's the guy who ran the school district in rural Missouri and now works for the state.
That's right. Well, his old boss worked on something called the Spainhower Commission.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dale. That was put together, what, like back in 1968 or so?
Oh, yeah. And the commission concluded that poor kids were always going to lose, considering the number of districts in the state.
Mm.
So the commission floated the idea of creating 20 regional school districts, including one in St. Louis, called the East-West Gateway.
Probably not a real popular idea.
No, Langford says his old boss told him that not only was the idea dead on arrival, it was dead before it even got on the bus.
Some of it you can sit and read, and I've actually read segments to in meetings and said, does this sound familiar? And though it was written nearly 50 years ago. So we're wrestling with some of the same issues that they were wrestling with then.
And in St. Louis, this sounds really, really familiar.
Just last month, another group of people concerned about education said there needs to be a task force to look at school funding and district consolidation.
The name of that group was the Ferguson Commission.
So we're just getting started with education. Next up, we're going to look at the long-standing racial disparities in student suspensions. Why can't the problem be solved, and what do suspensions mean to students and families?
And perhaps most important, what can be done to ensure minority students are being treated fairly in school? We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
Shula Newman is our editor, and we should say a proud Clayton alum.
Mm-hmm.
Margie Fry-Vogel is the editor of St. Louis Public Radio.
Our theme music was composed by Casey Morgan.
And from St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.